prayer for worship, let's join our voices together in singing the refrain of Lift High the Cross. This morning, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, may the peace of Christ be with you. My name is Larry Moore. I'm the director of music ministries here, and it is my pleasure to welcome you to this morning's worship service. You're used to seeing Rudy Powell up here, but we give Rudy the week off every now and then, especially since he's not paid. If you're visiting with us this morning, we hope that you find yourself warmly welcomed and that you will return to worship with us again very soon. There are multiple announcements in the bulletin. Let me draw your attention to two of them. Our Wednesday night gatherings have been underway for a couple of weeks now, with this being Labor Day weekend and the unofficial end of summer. We hope that you will find your way to join us on Wednesday evenings. There is a meal offered at 5:15, followed by our graded choir programs for children, study programs for youth and adults, and multiple activities, many times multiple programs that you can take advantage of on Wednesday evenings. You can make a reservation for the meal by calling the church office. Those reservations can be for an individual Wednesday night or for a standing reservation for the fall season. Continuing all in the food theme, because after all, wherever two or three Methodists are gathered together, there's bound to be a casserole lurking someplace nearby. The registration is also underway for the Main Street Supper Clubs. Martha and I joined a supper club this past spring. It is a marvelous way to get to know folks in the congregation, whether you are new to the congregation or a lifelong member. I encourage you to take advantage of that. There are multiple options of supper clubs, and that information is in a paragraph on the back page of the bulletin. One final note, since this is Labor Day weekend, the church office will be closed tomorrow in observance of Labor Day, and we will resume our normal operations on Tuesday. With those announcements, I now invite you to center your hearts and minds, set aside as much as possible the busyness of the world as we worship God.
Thank you.
Will all who are able please stand and join me in this morning's call to worship. Why have we gathered on this holy day? What has drawn us to this time and place? God calls us to this time of worship. The place where we are standing is holy ground. Out of a burning bush, God spoke to Moses. In the rhythms of worship, God speaks to us.
Please be seated. And I'll ask you to join me, and the invocation is found in our bulletin. We tremble to think that the source of all life, the creator of all worlds, is in this place, observing our worship, knowing our innermost secrets, calling us by name. O God, we dare to call on you, to bow before you, to welcome your word. We tremble to think what you might expect of us, for we remember what you expected of Moses. You sent him against the rulers of his people to win release from oppression. You sent him from the comfortable places he knew to plead for freedom amid threatening conditions. We dare to worship you, O God, knowing that you expect much from us. Amen. This morning we have some special events, and the first one is a sending forth of Marilyn Murphy. I'll ask Marilyn to come forward. And this is a sending forth of her trip. She is going with the Volunteers in Mission and the Women's Division of the Board of Global Ministries of the United Methodist Church to China. And I will invite you to join me as we send her forth. Congregation, I'll ask you to face the congregation. Friends and members of Main Street United Methodist Church, Jesus Christ sent out his followers into all the world to bear witness to the coming of the kingdom of God and to serve humankind. They did so rejoicing. Because of their witness and that of all who succeeded them, the gospel still challenges us to witness and service. Marilyn Murphy stands before us to continue that tradition. Today, this congregation sends her forth in the name of Christ as a United Methodist woman volunteer in mission in service as an Ubuntu journey sister to Hong Kong and China. And now, Marilyn, do you, as a United Methodist woman volunteer in mission, promise you will be a faithful servant of Jesus Christ? Will you adhere to the purpose and goals of the mission project? Will you keep faith with others with whom you serve so that by your work, study, and worship, Jesus Christ may be glorified? And now, congregation, do you, the members of this congregation, promise to support Marilyn through prayers for the success of her mission and for her safe return? Do you pledge to continue your support when she returns by expressing interest in her experiences?
We do.
And now, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the authority vested in me as pastor of this church, Marilyn, I charge you to serve as a United Methodist woman volunteer in mission for the journey you are about to undertake. Go with joy, witness for your master, and represent your church and United Methodist women. Encourage and inspire all of us in our Christian commitment, and may God richly bless and keep you on your mission. So far away to China and Hong Kong, and bring us presence. We thank you for being brave enough to go. That is so very far away. Such a different culture. And we pray that you carry Christ's light with you. And now, another high and holy moment in our worship service, a moment of baptism. And we ask Karen and Ronnie Tolley to come forward and bring forth their young son, Reed, their family, and those who would stand with them. Church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they may present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, races? Will you nurture Reed in Christ's holy church that by your teaching and example before him, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? Now, congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life, and include these parents, this family, and Reed now before you in your care?
With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will spread out the
the family and the entire congregation to join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testament. And in the form of question and answer, we see the most primitive form of the Apostles' Creed. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit,
born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate,
was crucified,
died, and was buried.
He descended into the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the
communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Now the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth life. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised.
Sing to the Lord all the earth. Tell of God's mercy each day.
In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations.
Declare his works to the nations, his glory to all the people.
Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and he who receives it, to wash away his sin and clothe him in righteousness and throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in his final victory.
All praise to you, eternal Father, for your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you in the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the Holy Spirit work within you that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. It is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ, though a tiny little brother he may be. Through baptism, he is incorporated by the Holy Spirit into God's new creation and made to share in Christ's royal priesthood. We are all one in Christ Jesus. With joy and thanksgiving, we welcome him as a member of the family of Christ. Now, members of the household of God, I commend Reed Gibson Tolley to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together of the unity of the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the Church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service.
Who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit that you may live in grace and peace. And now this young family, this young child, you have made promises to, the world will come down the aisle and back and you can get a close look at the folks that you have made promises to support as they grow faith together.
As that happens, I invite the congregation to turn to hymn number 593. Remain seated as we sing together, "Here I Am, Lord."
Testament reading for today is Exodus 3, 1 through 15. You may find it on page 63 of the Old Testament in your pew Bibles. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness, and he came to Oreb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called out to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." He said further, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has come now to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" He said, "I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain." But Moses said to God, "If I come to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." He said further, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this my title for all generations.'" The epistle reading for today is found in Romans 12, 9 through 21. You may see that on page 197 in the New Testament in your pew Bibles. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord." No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Be still and know I am here.
strength for all the despairing, healing for the ones who dwell in shame. All the blind will see, the lame will all run free, and all will know my name. Do not be afraid, I am with you. I have called you each by name. Come and follow me, I will bring you home. I love you and you are mine.
I am the one that leads all to freedom. I am the peace the world cannot give. I will call you embracing all your pain, stand on the walk and live.
Do not be afraid, I am with you. I have called you each by name. Come and follow me, I will bring you home. I love
As we prepare for our prayer time together, I do remind you that the altar rail is open for anyone who would like to come forward and have a personal prayer time as we pray together. I want to lift up William Culbertson. I want to lift up Mary Jane Thompson, who was in intensive care briefly this past week but went to a regular room on Friday, and my understanding is that she's going to be okay. Albert Gambrell, who is home but under hospice care. Jamie Lyles, recovering from surgery at home. Bob Childress, recovering from surgery. Billy Tunstall. Al Ashmore, who has a diagnosis of cancer. And Buck Lawson's great-grandson, a soldier in Iraq, his name is David Wheat, was very badly burned this past week. And the details we have that he is showing some recognition and some improvement. We have high hopes, but please remain in prayer for David Wheat. Let us pray together. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, you alone are holy. In your light we see light. In your love we know what love is. In your grace we have life and new life. We cannot understand you unless you make yourself known, and we thank you for making yourself known in Jesus Christ. In him we see your love, in him we understand the depth of your grace, in him we see your face. Lord, remind us that you are not an impossible mystery, you are not unknown and unknowable. You have spoken to us in Jesus Christ. You have walked where we walk, you have suffered what all mortals are heir to, temptation, fear, and death. Now in him you know us, and we know you. Give us the power to make you known to others. Empower us to be a light for others, to reflect your love to others, to make you known in flesh in our lives. And Lord, we do pray for those who are caught up in the storm that is coming and come, those who are in fear and in leaving their home and in cleaning up devastation in Cuba and the threat that comes across Florida. We pray for them and for all to be well, and for a response of your people with whatever comes. And now we pray for the leaders of the nations of the world, that they be open to your Holy Spirit, that you may guide them to make the things that make for peace. And now, Lord, our private prayers we lift before you, the prayers of our hearts, our confessions, our thanksgivings, our prayers for each other. Hear now our silent personal prayers. Lord, hear our prayers, for we pray them in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us continue our worship now through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, our special gifts.
Thank you.
thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our every need and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
You may be seated, and we invite the children to come to the front for the children's message.
Good morning, everybody.
Oh, what a lovely group.
Good morning. I want to start by welcoming some of our new members here in the sanctuary. We've got some welcome wigglers. I see Spence and Ella. Is Dylan? Yeah. Welcome, welcome. We're so happy to have you all. Oh, you're growing big now. I'd like to tell you a story this morning about Moses, and it's pretty exciting and kind of weird anyway. How are you, Gabe? Well, Moses was kind of walking around, and all of a sudden he saw a fire in the distance, and he got closer to the fire, and it was a bush, and the bush was burning. Well, you know, that might not be that unusual. We see some fires on the side of the road sometimes. But this fire was way different. It kept burning. Come on, Abby. It kept burning and burning. But it wasn't burning the bush up. You know how you burn a candle and it gets lower and lower and lower until it goes out? This bush never stopped burning. It just burned and burned and burned. That was amazing. And Moses was like, whoa. And God spoke to him. He said, Moses, well, that was even... even scarier. Here's this burning bush that wouldn't stop burning, and now God is talking through this burning bush. And he said, Moses, I need to ask you a favor. I've got these people that are very, very special to me, the Israelites. But you know what? They're in a place where they're not being treated very well, and I want you to get them out. These people called the Egyptians were just mean to them. And God said, these people don't deserve that, and they're special to me. Moses, I want you to go get them. And Moses said, I don't know that I can do that. Who am I going to say sent me? Me of all people to get a whole group of people out from Egypt. And God said, Moses, I'm not sending you by yourself. Who do you think was going to go with Moses? He was. That's good. God, he said, I'm going to be with you. You won't be by yourself. You know, sometimes, you know, just in our daily lives, we are asked to do things that we might not want to do or we think we can't do. Maybe if you're starting school and your teacher asks you to do something, you think, oh, I can't do that. Well, guess what? You're not by yourself. Who's with you? God is with us all the time. All the time. When you think you can't do something, say, God, I know you're here with me. Help me out. And he will. Let's say a prayer. Dear God, thank you for being with us and helping us to do hard things. We love you. Amen.
Let us pass the peace. Please be seated. We're going to go directly into the sermon. I'll be preaching from the Exodus text, which you have already heard read and also preached to some degree in the children's sermon. But I think there's still some thoughts left. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, first of all, my apologies to those of you who came from the 9 o'clock service to hear the long version. Even though it's contrary to the spirit of my sermon, I know that people stop listening at 12, so you probably won't get the long version. Unless we can get the ushers to lock the doors. Let's see. Well, let me begin. What we perceive depends upon who we are. If you look around in this beautiful sanctuary, you see so much wonderful wood. You see the carpet and the pews, and you see the plaster and the walls and the glass. We see all these ordinary building materials, matter. But if you are a physicist, you see things differently. The things that we see as solid and boring and mundane and everyday, they see as mere collections of atoms. Atoms which are filled mostly with empty space. And each atom is made up of discrete subatomic particles, which are energy. And this will blow your mind if you really think about it. The basic truth of what we see and feel and experience every day is absolutely contrary to what we think we know. The truth is, all things are composed of energy and empty space. Now, that's not what we see, but that is what a physicist knows to be true, whether we see it that way or know it or not. And you may say, Jim, why do you begin with physics 101? Well, I'm trying to rock your thinking just a little bit, because things are not always, in fact, rarely, what they appear to be. A popular scientist said recently, our universe is not only odder than we suppose, it is odder than we can suppose. Holiness is an odd concept by itself. The basic definition of holy is separate, or separated for God's use. And it means separated in a transcendent way, out of the ordinary. And transcendence really means to climb across. And so holy means to be separated from ordinary reality. And something that grants us entrance, transcendence into God's reality and purpose. And we say holy, and we kind of know what that means. We say holy ground and holy Sabbath, holy water, the holy ark, holy city, holy bread, and Isaiah, the holy of holies. And some of us say holy cow. We don't really consider cows holy, but in the Hindu tradition, they do. But that means anything that is separated from common use, consecrated for God's use and purpose, pointing to reality beyond what we see. In all cultures, the idea of holiness is difficult to explain. The one common theme is that when we experience the holy, we are overwhelmed and overpowered by our sense of creatureliness. We then know in the presence of holiness that God is holy and we are not. God is something other. And there is an attribute of humankind, not an attractive one, called xenophobia. That's the fear or the hatred of strangers or foreigners. And if you think about it, God is ultimately strange and foreign to us because of His holiness, His otherness. We fear God because God is holy. God is too great for us, too awesome. And God's truth makes all our blinders go away and makes us see ourselves as we are. When Peter, up fishing all night with the disciples and caught nothing and saw Jesus, and he said, cast your nets one more time. And when the nets were bursting, you remember in Luke, Jesus revealed that he was something other than just an ordinary man. And when Peter realized that and knew he was in the presence of God, he said immediately, depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. In church history, none were so intent on being holy than the Pharisees. And the Pharisees majored in what they thought holiness was. They did all that they did for all other people to see. And Jesus called them the worst sort of hypocrites. In fact, he said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You go over land and sea to make one convert, and you make him twice the child of hell than you are yourselves." That's very, very un-Jesus-like, but that's how much Jesus disliked external holiness. That doesn't count. They, the Pharisees, hated Jesus because without him in their midst, they looked pretty good. But with him there, their holiness, just like a counterfeit dollar bill laid next to a real one, it showed false. Now to the odd idea of holy ground. It is something which may exist whether we see it or not, whether we perceive it or not. And many have tried to get at it through poetry and through symbol. The poet Elizabeth Barrett Browning wrote this, and I love this little piece of a poem. She wrote, "Earth is crammed with heaven, and every common bush afire with God. But only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest sit round it and pluck blackberries." Do you take off your shoes? Do you bow down as a recognition of the holy that is throughout our earth and life? Or do you run your life mostly making schedules, making assumptions, yearning for what was and is no more, and enduring the present with the hope that the future might be better? I had a member, a woman in one of my former churches, who always took her shoes off in the sanctuary. She was sort of a little leftover bit of a hippie. And some people in the congregation complained to me that she did that, but I smiled to myself and I thought maybe she has it right. And we'll take a poll. How many leftover hippies do we have besides Mary Lynn? We got a few. A few years ago, I read a book on Celtic spirituality that introduced me to the idea of thin space. It's more or less another way of saying holy ground, but the Celts interpret it this way. It's when the barrier, they say, between heaven and earth becomes so thin that you can perceive the presence of the holy. You can perceive that this thin space is not an ordinary space, because God in that place is palpably present. And sometimes ordinary places can become holy places because of what happened there. And it need not be a voice from a burning bush. It can be something like honest, emotional prayer. In my Rock Hill church, the same church where the young woman walked around barefooted in the sanctuary, in that same church, we had a prayer vigil one night for a young mother who had been diagnosed with cancer. And there was no formal service, just people coming and kneeling and praying and crying in silence. And not exactly silence, because you could hear people breathing, that staccato kind of breathing that comes from trying not to cry out loud. The sanctuary was relatively new. And one of our members, who also took care of the building, he said to me after that service, one of the most profound insights I've ever heard from a church member, he said, "The altar rail is now holy because we have baptized it with our tears." Our prayers, too deep for words, had made a connection between God and our concern for another person. And when we ever make a connection between God and others, we are doing what the gospel says to do. A thin space, a holy place, can be made out of ordinary wood and cushioned kneelers. Places become holy because people encounter God's presence at that place. And I've had such encounters deep in the woods, deep in thought in a library, late at night after a vivid dream, and an honest healing moment between myself and a former enemy. I have even had such moments in church. Sometimes in prayer, and sometimes during a song or a solo that touches me deeply and unexpectedly and lets me know that God is here and God is near. And I suppose that some of you were a little afraid to laugh, that you say, you wonder why a preacher would be surprised to experience a holy moment in worship. Well, we say that God is near in worship, but you know,
Worship services can go on and on and on and seem so much the same and so predictable after a while that it can even catch a preacher off guard when those thin space moments, those holy ground moments, intrude into our locked down, planned out weekly service. Some part of me almost wants to say to God when that happens, "Well, I didn't know you were going to be here today." That thought reminds me of a true story from a nursing home where I used to hold regular services in a former apartment. We had one lady there who volunteered to play the piano, and she only had one good hand, and she only knew a few songs, and she played almost always Amazing Grace. Well, after meeting for a few weeks together, a younger woman who was there in the nursing home, because she had had a stroke, and the stroke affected her in this way, she just blurted out whatever she thought. Well, this lady asked loudly as we started to sing, "Can't we sing anything else? When you sing Amazing Grace as much as we do, it's just not amazing anymore." We sing and we pray, and I preach about God's presence among us, and then when it strikes the hour we leave, "Please stay." Those rare times when we feel God's presence, I think we are surprised because we've passed by those words, those bushes, those sacred spaces so many other times without a hitch, without a hint, without slowing down, and God said nary a word to us. But every once in a while, there is a spark, a light in the darkness, a feeling of fullness and accompaniment that says, "I am with you. You are not alone as you suppose. I have not forsaken you ever. Take off your shoes. Bow down your head. This is now holy ground." There have been a few times in my life where the only posture that felt appropriate to use while praying was laying flat out on the floor. And nobody taught me that, and nobody told me that. It just felt like what I ought to do. So whether it's on a mountaintop or standing where you laid to rest a loved one, or deep in prayer, or in the tears of forgiveness or a rare embrace, there still are thin spaces in this world. There are holy moments and holy ground where God shows up powerfully, or where God has shown up and left His mark on history. And we can't schedule such things every Sunday morning at 9 and again at 11. But worship should be a place where we drop what we are doing, leave behind the ordinary, and enter into and offer ourselves up with our armor taken off, our true selves to God, saying, "Okay, God, I'm here. Now don't scare me, but let me know that you are here too." You see, Moses was afraid. Everybody throughout the Bible, when God shows up or speaks or makes himself known, is afraid at first. When God showed up through the bush, apparently consumed with fire, and a voice out of the midst of it, wouldn't you be afraid? It seems that fear is the first emotion among all those who have experienced the presence of God, the overwhelming holy. But the first word from God is usually something like, "Fear not. Get up." I wonder if we pass by holy moments all day long because we are intentionally distracting ourselves, trying not to think of this and not to think of this and not to think of this, and we are so intentionally distracted that we don't hear or perceive the thin space, the holy moments, the presence of God all around us. We listen to the radio, we listen to the iPod, the books on tape, the TV, the internet, on and on. Maybe if we'd be still and quiet for even a moment without getting bored, maybe we could perceive God's presence even now in the ways we have in the past and remember but don't so often anymore. But we have a schedule to keep. And if God is to be made known, then God will have to work himself in between our songs and stuff. Amen.
Thank you.
receive now this blessing. The blessing of the full understanding and vision of the love of God the Father, the grace and forgiveness which is yours through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and the comfort and the power and the presence of God in this moment through the Holy Spirit. You have been blessed. Be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen.